Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week as usual by Tom and Donnie. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Dare I ask, how are you, Donnie?
I'm fine. I'm a golf fan these days.
Right, more on that later. But anyway, let's get the housekeeping done first. The Kevin Van Veen Cup, first quarterfinal, first leg. Results are up. You've seen your scores. Tom is trailing slightly, but I'm sure he has a master plan for game week 8 to get yourself into the semi-finals. We will also go to our league. We're all changing the top three. Ash Nairn is now number three. Nairn County, 52 points, 447 overall. Up to second is the Backstreet Boys. At Goose Gordon, he's up one spot, 50 points this week, 450 overall. And number one is Jota Clue, Brian 868, 54 points this week, 451 overall. So we'll do from bottom to top. Tom, score this week and rank.
My score was 39 points. I had Clark in goals for 6. James Brown at the back got me 2. Captain Tav, 0. Ndaba, 3, and Stevenson, 6. In midfield, I had Boyle for 4, Armstrong for 2, O'Reilly for 11, and then up front, Vice, Furuhashi got 2, Lammers, 2, and Murray got me 1, and my rank is 834th.
Okay, Donnie, over to you.
Okay, so I took a minus 4 this game week. Score is as follows: Hemming and goals for 2, Penrice 2, Captain Tav for 0, Scales for 6, O'Hara for 2, Boyle for 4, Armstrong for 2, O'Reilly 11, Vente 2, Bakayoko 2, Vice Captain Kyogo 2. So it's 35, minus 4 was 31, giving me a global score of 402. I had been 329 and I have plummeted to 663. So a bad game week for me.
Okay, over to myself, another red arrow again for me. That was 39 points overall. Clark, 6 points. Penrice, Brown, 2 apiece. Tavernier, Captain, 0. Scales, 6. O'Hara, remember I made that joke about Captain and Scales?
Yeah.
Just for context, I passed a town called Scales on the way to my weekend away, and I threatened to captain him, but obviously stayed with Tavernier, and it would have worked, but hey-ho. O'Hara, 2 points. Boyle, 4. Miller, 2. O'Reilly, 11. Vice-Captain Furuhashi, 2. Lammers too, nothing on the bench, but I have noticed Suarez was back on the bench and came on, so that's one dilemma I probably have to have, I can avoid. Red arrow to 424 for all, so not a good game week for all three, I don't think, but hey. Well, Tom, would you use a green arrow or red?
Yeah, red.
Right, okay. Right, Tom, over to you for the results then.
Yep, so first game of the weekend was Motherwell 1, Celtic 2. For Motherwell, it was Spittle that scored with an assist from Casey. For Celtic, it was Palmer that scored with an assist from Callum McGregor. And O'Reilly clinched the winner with an assist from Greg Taylor. Not a lot to report on for the bulk of the game. Surprisingly, the first goal came in at the 87th minute. Celtic struggled to break Motherwell down, who I thought were well organised throughout the bulk of the game. Spittle scored the equaliser and had managed a couple of shots on target, which is good going when you're up against the top two. Definitely looking to get him back in. As I can see his form continuing on, particularly with the lack of strikers or fit strikers at Motherwell just now. For Celtic, not the best game. They've not been great so far this season. I suspect this result might paper over the cracks a bit. It's not the kind of free-flowing football we were used to last season. But you know, a lot of new players need time to bed in. They've got the European games during the week, which will be a good indicator of how things are progressing. So something to keep an eye on there. For Kyogo, it was another blank, but I think it's a big risk going without. And obviously, O'Reilly continues to be the must-have. In terms of the Celtic back line, Nat Phillips is back, having rolled his ankle. So Lager, Bielka and Scales, their minutes are under threat just now. Again, the European game will give us an idea of what the situation is there. And also, I'm sure Carter Vickers is due back soon. So again, that's another concern for Lager, Bielka and Scales. I was kind of hoping for a big game from Itati to justify a purchase. A blank in game week 12 means that we'll probably all want three Celtics. So between now and then, it's going to be a case of trying to assess who our third Celtic asset's going to be, particularly if Scales is off the menu at that point. I'll come to you first, Peter. What was your thoughts on the game? Did you watch it?
No, it was away. I saw highlights. Celtic away we won, I think. Riley's the man on form. Kyogo, like you said, I wouldn't be rushing him out because it's only a matter of time for the course again. I've brought in Scales this week, so my transfer worked, but I believe it was Scales' fault for the goal. If you watched the replay back, Dom, he headed the ball out, and then I think he tried to chase the player down, and that let Spittle kind of do his quick sidestep to beat him and score. Still, I'm not too sure who's first choice, second choice. It was Lagerbielka who took off for Phillips, wasn't it? With the Phillips start?
Yeah, Lagerbielka came off, I think.
Right, so I think we can kind of take that it will be Phillips and Scales probably going forward, if one's both fit. I think obviously Wednesday night we'll be able to see that or not, if that's the case. Motherwell, I think, I mean, they get beat both Rangers last week and Celtic this week, but there were two games we were very competitive in, very unlucky at the game for both games, so I've been worrying too much about them. They're one of the teams that play in game week 12, so you can have cheap assets, Motherwell. I know you mentioned Spittle. You can have one or two players in, and probably that'll get you through that blank. I've got Miller still, so I'm going to kind of keep with him. I think the midfield areas too packed with good players. I really don't want to go to Spittle. I don't want to double up. So apart from that, that's about it.
Donny, what's your thoughts?
Not really much to add. I've got another slow start for Celtic. That seems to be happening more and more. Albeit they're still getting the win, so I guess you can't complain there. I think it's a Scales owner. You feel a bit hard done by. The clean sheet was there for 90-plus minutes, but he's still got 6 points. So for me, he's a hold. If you see that he's not in the team, then he's quite an easy transfer at that price point. So I'm going to ride that one out until he's dropped. Kyogo, again, no reason to drop him. And O'Reilly's now the top scorer in the league, so no reason to drop him. If you had Spittle, well done. You'd probably put him on the bench because you didn't really think he was going to do anything, but he did pop up. And for me, he's probably the only Motherwell asset you want just now, as far as I'm concerned. But from what could have been a good weekend, this was probably the first signs that it was all going to go awry in Celtic snatching victory and the very, very death. And obviously it didn't get much better for me after that, so a good win fantasy wise, nothing new from it.
No. Our next fixture then, Hibs 0 Dundee 0. Not a lot to report here. I was expecting a few goals given Hibs' recent form. Venti and Lafondre have started. Venti had a couple of shots on target and missed a big chance. I think he's probably the one to go for if you're going for a Hibs striker. Maybe not the best idea of doing it just now, given the upcoming fixtures, which is Hearts, Rangers and Celtic next. But we'll see who shines during that period, and they're probably going to kick on and do well against the easier fixtures. Stevenson started, much to my surprise, and he was subbed at the 62 minutes, so I was happy to get the clean sheet there in what was a low-scoring week for me. In terms of Dundee, Owen Beck continues to start. He's a nice cheap option at 2.5. I think another clean sheet. I think he was a good bench trick option. He also picked up 2 bonus points in this game as well. So if he jumps in every now and again with a few points, and can't quibble with that at that price. Still waiting for this Boyle haul, unfortunately. And I think we've got a few questions coming up about this.
It happened in the cup.
Donnie, what's your thoughts on Boyle? Are you starting to cool on him a bit? And
no, I'll pay. As well? Based all through and through, I think, as the song goes. But the result itself was a surprise, because both of these teams are quite free scoring, and we've seen Hibs ship a lot of goals as well. So taking in Venti up front this weekend seemed like the sensible choice. That didn't work out. I'll probably move to Miowski next. So yeah, it was disappointing. Hearts and Hibs both go on this run now where they play, well, each other first and then Celtic and Rangers in consecutive weeks. So from a defensive point of view, Hibs have had a good run, but that might be about to turn. So just be careful there. For Dundee, I've still got the guy Bakayoko in there. He doesn't cost me anything, and he's returned quite a few game weeks, so I'll hold on to that. Boyle got 4 points in a game that was pretty quiet, in a game week that was pretty low scoring. 4 points, can't really argue too much about, so I will stick with that. And for me, he's a hold. I know there's questions on it, so I won't go into any more. But yeah, pretty dull game between two sides.
Yep. Can you get Demirovsky quite easily?
I can, yes. Uh-huh. Because I don't really have any value up front. And the changes I've made in midfield, yeah, I could get to him, yeah.
Nice. Peter, what's your thoughts?
Probably same as Donny, pretty much a dull game, but Hibs has lots of chances, just no execution. Beck, again, I mentioned him last week, Beck's could be similar to like Brown from Ross County, if you think you might jump over to him now, if you might have him as a cheap asset. Boyle, I'll stick with as well. I mentioned this before, so does Donny quite regularly. He's kind of fixture-proof. I know he's not done it yet, but it wouldn't surprise me to him to step up with a goal and assist in each of the next 3 games against the Harder teams, so I thought I would stick with him. Apart from that, not really much. Bakayoko for Donny, what you shout, is just so cheap that you just let him tick over. I mean, if I was on a wild card, I'd probably be in my team, because he plays every week as well, so that's the one I'd have in, so cheap. Not much to add. Hibs do look a bit more defensive sound under your man so far, so his fixtures don't do well, but I suppose we'll see how they do against Hearts, Celtic, Rangers, and if they look better at the back, then it might be time to invest in a Hibs defender going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next one then, we've got Kilmarnock 1, St Mirren 1. For Kilmarnock, it was Brad Lyons that scored. For St Mirren, it was a McGuinness own goal. The assist was originally awarded to Tanzer on the Twitter, but I think that was rescinded because it was a cross and not a shot. But you know, Tanzer's a name that's popped up quite frequently in the past few weeks. Under normal circumstances, perhaps he maybe got the assist on that one. But I think he's a good option nonetheless, and he's now the second highest scoring defender in the game. O'Hara dropped in form. Still no return since he came back from his injury. In my team, he might make way for Spittle, to be honest with you. For Kilmarnock, Brad Lyons, also a nice cheap enabler in midfield. He managed to get all 3 bonus points in this fixture. I think he's very cheap at like 3.5 or something like that. Maybe his price has rose a little bit since then. And I believe he's the second highest scoring midfielder in the game. So some decent options there at Kilmarnock. Peter, are you going to load up on Kilmarnock in preparation for the blank in 12? What's your thoughts on the fixture as well?
I'll not be loading up. No, I might have 2 in by the end of play. That's it. I'm always sweating. I don't have Armstrong on my team, but he does something in these games. I'm glad he didn't. But Lyons is close behind that. So, was Ndaba playing this game? Did he actually start?
Yeah.
You remember? Yeah, he did. Right, good. So that's another cheap option. But you've loaded yourself, Tom. You don't really trust Kilmarnock's defence right now. So if they start going a clean sheet run, he's a really cheap way into it. He's all 2.4, and I don't fancy heading up front. It'd probably Lyons or Armstrong. But again, let's see who do you ship out. Are you not on O'Hara? You want rid of O'Hara, Tom? Is that what you said?
No, I've got him just now, but due to his lack of form, he might have to go and get Spittle in.
Just think on penalties about Donny's mentioned his talisman. I don't know. It's a fantasy football thing. As soon as you say all these players, he's going to go nuts. But Another good aspect would be if you can time it right and jump on the right midfield at the right time. So I've only just brought him in a couple weeks ago, so I'm happy to hold for now. Apart from that, Tanzer and Strain, we mentioned every week. When I saw the Tanzer assist, I was going, oh, no, here we go. That'll be another one with the template team are on, but I get ruled off, thankfully, for my team anyway.
Donny, anything to add there?
We'll see. We talked up St Mirren defence last week, and of course they concede at the weekend. Armstrong as well, we talked quite highly of him and his Lions. So a lot of the low-scoring teams this weekend are because these players didn't click, and that sometimes happens. But they've both got Glasgow opposition this weekend. St Mirren will probably be the most confident. O'Hara could still come good in that match. For Kelly, you know, they won't have high hopes, but they have beat Celtic already this season, so fingers crossed for that one. I think the names that we've talked about previously, you just hold. And Daba, that we talked about at the start of the season, he's now back in the team. You can work towards him if you're keen to have a Kelly defender. So for the two teams, pretty boring game, not much to gain from it, but St Mirren are still undefeated going to the Rangers game. And Kilmarnock, again, they've got some good value there. Maybe it just didn't click this weekend, but it'll come good.
Yep. Our next fixture then, Ross County 0, Hearts 1. It was Alan Forrest that scored the goal with an assist from Lowry. Two blanks in a row for Ross County. Benching Simon Murray didn't really make a difference in front of goal. And in this fixture, I thought the clean sheet was nailed for Ross County, given Hearts' attacking form recently. So James Brown owners, much like myself, will be disappointed there. In terms of Hearts, even though they managed to score here, I'm not getting too excited about their attackers. However, they do continue their defensive form. They're still keeping pace with Celtic and Rangers in terms of the number of clean sheets so far this season. I think all three of them have four. So with that in mind, I could potentially be warming to a Hearts defensive double up. Something to chew over. I'll be interested to hear what you guys are thinking on that one and your thoughts on the fixture. Donny, what do you reckon?
I don't have any Hearts assets whatsoever, nor Ross County to that effect, but it's a game that Hearts should be winning, and they did get there in the end. Another blank for Shankland. I think the only people that can still be on him are Hearts fans, because he's just not doing anything at the moment. So yeah, no points there. I think Lowry could be a shout going forward. I think he's the only Rangers player that's actually good right now, so that might be a cheap one to put in your team. Ross County, no clean sheet. Simon Murray subbed at half time. That's probably Ross County's level. You know, they'll get a good result, maybe get a couple of good results, and that's it. They're such an up and down team, but they do have fixtures. Dundee, St Mirren, Motherwell does kind of fall kindly for them. Hart, I think you'd have to be brave to go double at the back with Hibs, Celtic, Rangers fixtures to come. As I say, Lowry in the middle, it's quite low risk in terms of his performances recently. You might get an award there. And as I say, Shankland up front has just been an absolute bomb. So that's an avoid for me. Nothing in either of these two teams do it for me at the moment.
Peter?
I would advise against the block, Tom. No, I wouldn't be doing that. I think you could spread it elsewhere. Just keep Clark if you're going to have him. Lowry, Donny, the only thing about him is his rotational risk. He's never really guaranteed to play every game, so it would be quite punty, I think, even though a lot of Hearts fans want to start. There's not much there. Shankland's the one you want to kind of go hot at some point, but he's not done it, so there's a lot of money there, so he's not going to invest. There's nothing really here I'd want for both teams. I've got Clark. I'm happy even goals. I've got the value on him now. I've got James Brown, bench trick defender. And I'm not looking to add really any other players in these teams unless somebody starts showing form. But it's one of these game weeks, like we're doing this after the game. Not much to report yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. St Johnstone won then, and Livingston won. It was Dara Costello that scored for St Johnstone with an assist from Daniel Phillips. For Livingston, it was Sean Kelly who scored a penalty, and it was Newbley who won that penalty. Liam Gordon at St Johnstone also seen red. I think St Johnstone are still in a void for me. The score of the odd goal, but it seems to be a different name every time they do. for Livingston. It's difficult to see a standout player amongst the starting 11. There's no real sort of talisman there. Not really any players that I'd like to target. There's not a frequent goal scorer and clean sheets aren't coming in. But I did notice that Tim Parks started this fixture. I think most managers are holding a Livingston defender, and they would have been perhaps hopeful of a clean sheet, but it wasn't meant to be. I thought that would be nailed on against St Johnstone, but not to be. I don't know. I think maybe perhaps Livingston are starting to move into the avoid territory as well, but I'm interested to hear what your thoughts. What do you reckon, Peter?
That's exactly what's going through my mind. I think I had a cheap Penrice defender. Starting to think they're similar. It's not as bad as St Johnstone, but they don't keep the clean sheets. They're getting the odd point here and there, and nobody's really turning and standing out. So, I mean, with Hibs point, the new manager playing well, Aberdeen have upturning form. I'm starting to think there's places you can go elsewhere and kind of avoid Livingston and St Johnstone. You're just going to be taking points and hoping every so often we mention this that you'll get the odd clean sheet or the odd rest, but that kind of few and far between getting with both teams.
Yep. Donny, anything to add there? What do you reckon?
No. It's personal preference. I've got a soft spot for Livy, always have. I think if you are holding a Penrice or the Lucas, you know, you will get returns, and it might just be once every five games. A lot of the other teams at that end of the table where you're getting your other picks from are very similar. There's no guaranteed clean sheets in Scottish football, so it just depends how you feel about them. Look at the fixtures, see what you think. I mean, they do have Kilmarnock and Dundee to the next three games, but St Johnstone will forever be in a void, as far as I'm concerned. And Livy, it just depends. As I say, I've got a soft spot for them, so I'm maybe biased. But game-wise, there's nothing new that you've learned from this fixture.
Yep. Okay. And then the best for last. We've got Rangers 1 with a Sima goal, with a Cifuentes assist, Aberdeen 3. Cartenman scored the first one with an assist from Clarkson. McGrath scored the second and McKenzie scored the third. Scott Wright got a second yellow and was sent off. And a bit unlucky for Miowski, who hit the woodwork. Miowski, I think he's a good option going forward. He's the second highest scoring forward in the game. Duke was benched for this fixture, though I do reckon that was probably tactical. And given the lack of form elsewhere, I could perhaps see fantasy managers looking to load up on Aberdeen assets going forward. Rangers getting booed again. And at the time of writing this, Beale was still in a job, but obviously that's now not the case. Well, so we'll have to see if Stephen Davis and Alex Ray can pull it off. For me going forward just now, Tav's probably the only Rangers asset I'll be holding. Remains to be seen if we'll get a new manager bounce. I think that might be tricky given a lot of players are injured. I think Roof's out injured again as well. I think it's probably a wait and see for the time being for me. Donny, what's your thoughts? Can you shine a light on the situation at Ibrox?
Where do I start? I said a lot of confident things last week that I quickly regretted come 5 o'clock on Saturday. Okay, here goes. So, like Christmas, Rangers managers come around quicker and quicker every year. If you came here expecting me to praise Aberdeen, then you're very much mistaken, although I guess I should be thankful for them speeding up the managerial change. I said at the weekend I thought this game would go two ways. I think if Rangers had scored first, they could have really steamrolled Aberdeen. However, I did say if Aberdeen scored first, the crowd will turn and we could quite easily lose the game. And that's how it panned out. The minute Aberdeen scored, I knew straight away that was it. And when it 2-1, you know, friends saying, oh no, here we go, the comeback's on. I was like, it'll be 3-1 before it's 2-2. And there it is. It's been coming for a while. The Killy game at the start of the season was a shock. The Celtic game was a bit surprising because we had some form at least going into it, but the performance wasn't there. And here we go again. There's another one, 3 out of 7. Unacceptable. You know, he's taking in good players. You can't get them to play and, you know, you lose your job at a club like Rangers. So fingers crossed we can recover, but in the short term it's going to be a bit tight. I think from a fantasy point of view, you know, Tavernier is a hold, but as captain, you know, it's going to take a brave decision to keep him on captaincy for the foreseeable future. They just look void of confidence, and I think if St Mirren were to score first, I think it would be a long road back just to get into the game. So we'll just have to wait and see. They do play on Thursday in Europe. No mean feat going over to Cyprus, a game that they should handle, but we'll just have to wait and see. And St Mirren will cause them problems because they're good defensively and they can go forward quite well. 3 goals from Aberdeen, but nothing from Miovski. So that, I guess, is a bit of a concern. But he always looks lively and he is on penalties. So, again, if they come through Europe unscathed, the St Johnstone, Dundee and Kilmarnock are perfect in my eyes for him to make some points. But yeah, I know there's other questions about Rangers and where we go from here, so we'll just wait and see. But in very Rangers fashion, even our manager is injured, so it's certainly going to be fun, that's for sure. I'll let Peter chip in for his worth. I know he's been delighted.
I think the form has turned, they're looking, playing pretty well again. Mioski's on the radar for me. I think I've got a question later on McGrath. He did look lively as well, but again, it's in that midfield position where there's quite a lot of players to pick from. Defensively, I still don't think they're sound enough yet. I need to see some. I know they still conceded a goal, so I'd like to see a couple of clean sheets in the trot. With Rangers, Donny's covered, but it's just Tavernier, I think. I don't think they'll push the ball out for anybody else. Too many injuries, forms down. The only thing I would say, as you mentioned that as well, is they're playing a Europe on Thursday, so you're able to see how the new team set them up. And then maybe you might get an idea if they're going to play maybe to an old 4-4-2 or still do something different than what they've been doing. It hasn't been working. So keep an eye on that. And happy days, I suppose. That's it. Bring on Frank Lampard.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We'll conclude then with our top 10 for the game week. Coming at number one was Trevor Carson with 12 points, obviously the goalkeeper at Dundee. McKenzie, the Aberdeen defender, with 11 points. O'Reilly with 11. Rowles, the Hearts defender, with 10. Costello at St Johnstone, 10 points. Sean Kelly, 10 points. Brad Lyons, 10 points. Owen Beck, 9. Aberdeen defender Stefan Gartenman. And McGrath also scored 9 points as well. If we break that down position-wise, we've got one goalkeeper, two defenders, five mids and no forwards, which is a bit unusual. I kind of a mixed bag there. The teams that did well, obviously, quite a number of players in there, and also the Dundee defence. Anything to add to that one, Peter?
Not many names on that list we're used to, but for Ailey, I think so. I think that explains a lot of low scores this week. Nothing else is just, it's just one of the game weeks. I think we just have to take it on the chin, move on to next week, and hopefully the players we all know and love start shooting back again.
Do I?
Yeah, no, exactly the same. You know, when Rangers do bad, it's reflected because we all go captain Tav and it doesn't work, and you know, there's no other players shining, so you don't really get the returns. But apart from O'Reilly, I think I've missed every one of those on that list, so hence the low score.
Yep, that's that.
Right, Don, over to you. A dive this week.
I've got a player for you all that's hopefully going to turn around our fortunes. the last one got injured, so we've yet to kind of kick off on this one. So, differential, the idea is to identify a player that is low on ownership, possibly in form and overlooked. It's only a recommendation. As I say, Nico Raskin got injured off the back of my last breakdown, so we'll just have to wait and see. I will say in advance, this one is a stretch, but I'll give you the reasonings once we work out who it is. So the player this week is 7.3% owned. He's the 53rd top-owned player alongside Bevis Mugabe, Greg Kilty and Christian Deutsch. So not particularly great names. He's got one goal, zero assists and two bonus points. Now, I'm going to go with an early guesses because some of the other information might give it away. So, Tom, anything there that might lead you to think who this one is?
What was the first part again, sorry?
So he's fifth. The third top owned player alongside Mugabe, Kilty, Doyd, 7.3% owned. So not much to go on.
Right.
One goal, no assist, two bonus points.
McGrath?
Okay. Peter? Anything there for you to go on? I know there's not a lot.
I've been factual. I mentioned McGrath earlier on, so I have to say that as well.
If you think I'm doing a dive on an Aberdeen player, you can come again. Okay. Not after this weekend, anyway. Okay, so we finished off one goal, zero assists, 10 points for the season. Now, that's not very good. So he is priced at 2.2 million. And the key bit of information is he's played one game at an average of 78 minutes. So he's played one game, got 10 points. Okay, so your final clue is there's two of them in the same team. Peter? Any wiser?
I'm sure Tom's going to have us on his list for this week, so I have no idea, no.
Okay. It's got to be Tom, one of the Sean Kellys, then, is it not?
There you go. Bingo. So this week's differential, Sean Kelly, Livingston. The last clue is obviously hinting that they've got Stephen Kelly as well. Don't get them confused, although they did do me a good turn last season for part of the Kelly double up. So I appreciate recommending a player that's only played one game this season is a bit of a push, but you know, people who've been playing this game will recognise Sean Kelly as having decent returns last season. He was previously a defender, but he is now down as a midfielder. Sean Kelly is a player that we talked about quite highly in the pre-season because he takes set pieces and, of course, my favourite, penalties. What I think makes this move more appealing is that he's only 2.2 million, which I find crazy. So if this game time is nailed, then for me it's jackpot because, you know, we're trying to budget, move our money around. You're going to get a cheap midfielder who's on penalties. Okay, it's not a great team, but it's still quite good there. The cheapest midfielder playing right now, and is probably in most teams, is Miller at Motherwell, who's 2.6. So if you make that shift, you're going to save yourself 0.4 million. I think that's a move that then gives you a better chance of getting to Spittle from Motherwell. And then that would give you quite a good midfield. I think Kelly is just perfect for bench trick, 2.2. It's not a big spend. You put him on the bench, as I said before. The fixtures are Motherwell, Kilmarnock and Dundee. So for me, that's quite good. And that's what I mean. I've got a soft spot for Livingston. So for him starting at the weekend, getting 10 points, it jumps out straight away. So that's this week's differential. He's played one game. He scored 10 points. Sean Kelly, Livingston, 2.2 million. Peter, Thoughts?
Why has he only played one game?
Been injured.
Yeah. So, if he's back, that is quite a good enabler, I suppose. But did we see Livingston's team news on Saturday? Are they one of the early kickoffs?
Livingston. Yep. They've got the next three games, you'll see.
Right, so it's something you can keep an eye on if he is playing every game. He was quite good. It was good last season. I remember him had him on my team, you had him on your team as well. You did a double up, so it worked quite well.
Yep, I did.
Maybe that's the impetus Livingston need to kickstart the season. Could be a good shout.
It could be. He'll either hit or not. And at 2.2 million, it's not a risk. I think you get more out of him than you get out of Miller at Motherwell. And by not having Miller, you can get Spittle. So I think making those changes, your team would be better off. Even if Kelly's not performing, you're going to have a better team at the end of it. Tom, thoughts on that one? I said it was a bit of a stretch, but he'd have been in my team at the start of the season, I think, if he was playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of a bench trick if he's getting the minutes. Obviously, can't quibble with set pieces and penalties. I think maybe Livingston will start to try and rely on set pieces for goals. Yeah. It could be a decent option. One to keep an eye on, definitely, and good for the budget.
Absolutely. As I say, if you're on Miller, you're going to save 4.4 million there at least. And then if you're trying to get Amiowski or something, it's not bad. So, as I say, it's a bit of a stretch. If he can hold down his position, he does take all their set pieces. It was great last season because he was a defender. You were getting clean sheet points on top of it. But, you know, you've got any Rangers players, if you take in him, you can get cheap players elsewhere. I think it's not bad. And there's not much else going around. I'll maybe look at Aberdeen team for the next couple of weeks, see if I can get something out of that. But I thought that was quite good based on where we are after 7 games.
Is he a middle part player or a winger, Kelly?
Middle,
right.
Well, yeah, he does play more. He used to play like as a wing back, and I think that's why he does play in the middle. They play quite a flat four across the middle with Kelly in there as well. So, not my luck. It'll be Stephen Kelly that hauls this weekend and Sean Kelly's benched. But, you know, these are the risks you take.
Okay, good shout. Right, we'll move on to our questions then. Donnie, if I miss any, give me a shout because I'm just doing this from my phone. Right, first up is from James McLeod, who is at @commander_kilt. Lines Armstrong double up too much in Kelly. Just Armstrong, if only one question mark. So, you think the Lines Armstrong double ups too much, Donnie? And if so, I take it. Who would you favour, Armstrong or Lines?
Yeah, I think it's overkill. Okay, it paid off, but they've still only got one win this season. I think you should be better spreading your midfielders. I would have Armstrong because I've got Armstrong. He's on penalties, so for, you know, anyone who listens knows that that's my favourite thing. Keep him. You've got Boyle, Spittle, O'Hara. There's plenty of other options in midfield. I think, you know, Kilmarnock have one bad game and then that's put a whole squeeze on your team. You're going to lose out twice. Whereas if you've got Armstrong, you know, it's just one. So I'd have one preference, again, which one you have, but Armstrong manages it because he's on pens.
Okay. Tom, same question?
I'm not against it. In terms of price, he's not as cheap, obviously, as Sean Kelly and the likes, but he's cheap and he's firing well. Kilmarnock do have a fixture in game week 12, so if he's just on a single transfer, I'd probably hold off doing it until after the Celtic fixture. But then they've got Livingston at home, Aberdeen at home might be a tricky one, St Johnston and then Motherwell in that game week 12. So I'm not against it. But I'm actually considering it myself, so there you go.
I'm against it. I'm doing the same route as Donnie. I think one bad game week, that's pretty much half your midfield done, so I'd rather spread about. I'm not too fussed if Lane can kind of keep track with Armstrong, when I don't think one pick's worse than the other, but the only thing again is penalties. If Armstrong's on penalties, then that could be a game changer like a bad result, and he gets one penalty, that could be you hauling again. So, apart from that, I would avoid it. Right, back to my Twitter page. Right, next up is from Andrew, and that's at xandrewslar.
How are you going to prepare for match day 12 from now? It's a good question because me and Donny and Tom will have different opinions on this. So, Tom, I'll come to you first. How are you preparing for match day 12?
Well, spoiler alert, I'm actually considering a wild card this week.
Oh.
And as part of the wild card, there'd be quite a number of Motherwell and Kilmarnock assets involved in that. So that's my consideration.
You're getting a shake of the head, Fido.
Utilising the bench trick going forward, obviously Kilmarnock of Celtic. But I think I quite like Motherwell's run of fixtures, so I'm not too upset about having a few Motherwell players. Livingston, St Johnstone, Ross County, next three, then Aberdeen in game week 11, and obviously they do have the fixture in game week 12, which is Kilmarnock. So it's only a consideration at present, but it's one I'm going to be chewing over probably for the rest of the week.
Interesting. Right, Donnie, you obviously disagree with that. What's your opinions on a match day 12?
I'm not against your wild cards because, no, let's be honest, I've already done it, but I wouldn't focus solely on this game week. So I'm going to prepare by not preparing would be the best answer. If you look at the fixtures, you've got Ross County v Celtic. You're going to have three Celtic players at that point anyway. You're not going to expect Ross County to get a result. So to me, that rules out any Ross County players. You've got Kelly v Motherwell. You're probably already going to have Armstrong, probably Spittle as well. You maybe already got a defender from each. I don't think you need to load up on anything extra because if you're wanting Armstrong and Spittle to return, then it means your defenders are going to blank. So it'd only be, I guess, if a defender scored, you're going to get into it. Until you know when those rearranged fixtures are, for me, it's not a game week that I would put much thought into it. It's the double, you know, when those teams do play that you want to focus into. What I would say is, Tom, you wild carded into a similar kind of game week last season and it didn't work at all from memory. So I would just be mindful when the time comes that you don't make the same mistake. But I certainly agree with wildcarding. If your team's in a mess, it's the best way to get out of it. But this game week 12, I think people might overthink it. I don't think you'll make too much more point returns than if you just have a couple from each team and then you can just resume the rest of the game weeks thereafter. Okay. So that's me.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it. My idea was to dead end it and well card out it, but I think, as you mentioned there, I've got three Celtic, I've got two Motherwell right now, and I probably will have two coming into that game as well. So that's eight players, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rip my team up. It's only two fixtures. I would take a shock result for Ross County against someone off of Celtic, and Motherwell Kilmarnock, let's be honest. I would probably favour Motherwell right now, but that game could go either way. So if you had the two heavy hitters in the team, like Spittle and Armstrong, maybe a Lions at a push, then I don't think you'll lose too much ground in the pack. And like you say, the double game week, the other side, that's probably the one now I would be holding a wild card to. That probably makes more sense once the fixtures are announced. Then I could wild card to have a full game week, all these games. If they're all in the same week, that is. And then you'd have bench boost, triple captain, all this to one go and go for a try to get a high score.
Yep. Right.
Next up is from Gavin, roll numbers after his name. Barisic and Dodge, do I sell? I have two transfers and I also plan to sell Danda. So I'll come to you first, Donny.
I would definitely cash in on that combo. Out of form, minutes risks, quite a bit of your budget is tied up there. I make it 8.8 million on those two players. So I've worked out you could get Miovski and Mbada and have 0.1 million left over. You could get Ryan Strain and Abdullah Sima and have 0.3 left over. I think you'll get a lot better combinations out of the two that you've got there. So you've got two transfers. I would definitely make those changes. I don't get Danda. Somebody in the questions mentioned it last week. I think you're better off even with Sean Kelly that I mentioned, spending your money elsewhere. I don't know if I'm missing something at Ross County. I don't watch a lot of their games, but Danda for me is not a fantasy option as far as I'm concerned.
I think the thing with Danda is he's not a fantasy option, but he does look quite pleasing on the eye when you see him play football. He's quite technical, but I think, again, he falls in that midfield bracket where he's playing for a poor team. There's lots of better players to pick from. I would agree. But Barisic and Doige. Doige is not even first choice. It's Lafondre and Venti's top two. Comes on, so that's
an easy to be, yeah.
And then Barisic. Did Yilmaz go up injured again or was he fine? Tony?
Oh, I have no idea. Like, I think he's...
Don't care.
Add it to the list. Who's named in Jordan our team
anyway,
right now?
I think Barisic, if he is fit, Barisic, he's a rotational risk. And if he's not fit, he's poor form playing a poor team right now. So I think he can go elsewhere, like Donny mentioned. Your thoughts, Tom?
Yeah, I'd agree with what Donny says. And Miowski's probably the where to go. And in terms of Danda, yeah, he looks good, but he's not getting the points. And when you're playing fantasy, that's all you're interested in.
Okay, next up is from John Cameron, and that is at Cammy37. Motherwell playing quite well and have a brilliant run of fixtures. Is it double up, triple up time? And which assets stand out? So, Tom, you've mentioned the wild card loading up, so I'm going to come to you then.
Well, I think you definitely need to have Spittle. That's one thing. I don't know. Casey looks all right, and I reckon Motherwell could probably have a few clean sheets over the next few weeks. Livingston, St. Johnstone over the next two. Obviously, Ross County have blanked in the last two games. They faced them in game week 10, so I think Casey could be a decent option as well. So probably, yep, triple up. Miller is a cheap enabler if you're going for Motherwell, and you're going to get a few players playing in game week 12.
Okay. I would only double up myself. I think they've not got the striker up top that's doing the Van Dien type, even a percentage of that kind of stuff. So midfielder, like you said, it would be Spittle if you could, Mildred enabler, maybe one at the back. I think that would be it. Donny, for you, what do you think?
No, exactly the same. No point in tripling. You want to spread it. Nothing up front. Spittle, Casey, McGarvey. That's the three names that I would be picking.
Okay. Next up, then, is from FPL Wigery. It's two questions. What, if any, changes are expected to Rangers this weekend and further in the future that Beale has departed? And that is for you, Donny.
I don't think you can expect any changes, in all fairness. I think, you know, they play on Thursday, then they play again on Sunday, so they're not going to have much time outside of the games that they play to make any sort of impact. There's injuries left, right and centre, so again, it's just sort of a case of putting the players out that we've got and try to make the most of it. And then once we hit this international break, those injured players are set to return, and you know, we might have a new management team in place. But just stay clear of them just now. They're not going to, you know, they might win on Thursday, they might win on Sunday, but I don't think it'll be any glamour behind it if they do. So stick with Tavernier and then see where we are in a few weeks. There's other teams that are playing better, so that would be my answers.
Tom?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The personnel and the pitch aren't going to change just because the amount of injuries that they've got. For me, it's just a wait and see for now. Stick with Tav, obviously, because he can haul out of anywhere, particularly the fact he's on penalties and set pieces. So, other than that, I wouldn't be looking to sort of try and catch a new manager bounce for the time being.
Yep, I agreed to the Tavernier. I would keep him a team, nobody else right now. I just kind of see how things progress under a new manager or managing team. And his second question was, three tricky fixtures for Boyle in the next four. Time to offload, I'll start. No. And this is where Boyle comes alive. Donny, thoughts on Boyle?
Yeah, that's a no from me. I think, okay, 4 points was probably as good as you were getting in this game week. These are the fixtures, he comes alive. He'll enjoy a game against Hearts. He enjoys a game against Rangers and Celtic. Can be fragile at the back. So they might not win any of these games, but he will feature. Still waiting for him to explode outside of the cup, and I think it can still happen. So for me, blind faith is better than nothing at all.
Tom Boyle, you took that long on the train, you coming back off it, you staying?
100% going to get rid. I've rued the day that I brought him into my team, and I'm perhaps considering a hit even just to get rid of him.
You're at it.
Watch the space.
He's probably a good odds chance to score against Hearts. That's what I would say. I think I'm probably expecting him to return against Hearts. So there we go. Right, that is the questions over. So
you missed one, sorry, Peter.
Right, okay, go then. That's not on my Twitter.
You missed one from Gavin. It's about Aberdeen, so you know, let's not let the Aberdeen down fans down. So, what are your thoughts on McGrath? So we touched on it earlier. McGrath, Aberdeen, I will hear what you've got to say first before I chip in. So, Peter?
I like you looking. He's playing on the wing. That last game, I don't know if it was tactical, but again, I need to see more. And I think I've mentioned many times this podcast, there's lots of midfielder options to pick from. And who would you take out to bring him in? That's the only thing.
Yeah. Tom, McGrath, is he going to make it in the wild card?
Well, if Miofsky's on penalties, then that's obviously not good. McGrath, when he was at St Mirren, the big attraction was penalties. I think he was on set pieces and things as well. So he got a lot of hauls there. Aberdeen, perhaps he's not going to return as much. I think he's only got that one goal for the season. He doesn't have any assists or anything yet, so it's a bit early to say. St Johnstone at home, Dundee at home over the next two fixtures. So if he's not scoring against them, he's probably one to avoid for the time being.
No, I absolutely agree. I don't think there's enough data on any Aberdeen players at the moment to be 100% convinced. We all tipped Clarkson to have a good season, and he's failed to perform. I think you're right. If he'd been on penalties, I'd have probably had him straight in. The bad thing is, Rangers have probably made him look good by scoring at the weekend. Unless he scores again, you think, right, we're maybe missing out here. I think it's too early when you've got the likes of Armstrong, O'Hara, Spittle, Boyle, O'Reilly. That would be my midfield if I could template it. So he wouldn't make it into my team. And, he's had one good game week. Don't think that's great to go on when, as I say, there's better value elsewhere. Right, Pierre, that's all the questions you can carry on now.
Right, excellent. Right, so fixtures for the coming game week are, we're going to have four early kickoffs. Well, not four early, four games you will see the team news. So Livingston, Motherwell, Hearts and Hibs, Dundee, Ross County, Celtic, Kilmarnock. Then on Sunday we have St Mirren Rangers, Aberdeen, St Johnstone. So upon hearing those fixtures, Tom, what is your captain, vice-captain and transfer/wildcard plans?
I don't know. I think Donnie's talking me out with the wild card there, but we'll see how we get on. I want to get Miofsky. I've got Lammers, though, so 4.7. I think Miofsky is about 6.7, so I'll need to get cash somewhere. The only place I have cash is the midfield. So if I want to get Miofsky, I would have to take a hit, and I'd have to get rid of Boyle to do so. So I don't know who the midfielder would come in if I was to go down that route. In terms of vice-captain, I'll probably stick with my vice-captain on Kyogo. Captain, I don't know. It's a difficult one. Away to St Mirren, you'd imagine they'd probably at least keep a clean sheet, surely, but you never know, particularly with their current form.
I like your confidence.
The captaincy, I mean, Aberdeen with St Johnstone at home, but perhaps they might have a European hangover. You could captain Miofsky, that could be an option. O'Reilly's on some amazing form just now, so he could be a captaincy option as well. Probably one of those two, I think.
Donnie, same question yourself?
If we go nuts on Thursday, then my confidence will be restored and I will fully back Tavernier on Sunday. But for now, I think you maybe just hold off on Rangers, see how it settles out. I think, as Tom said, there's a good argument for O'Reilly with the captaincy. He's now the top goal scorer. He's in great form. Vice-captain Kyogo, I think you stick with that as well. For me, I think it's Miofsky for Venti. If I get giddy like I did last weekend and take another -4, it would be Kelly for Miller. And then I'll move to Spittle probably the week after. So we'll see, as I say, we'll just see what we're like come Saturday and we'll base our changes on that.
Right, my vice captain's on Furuhashi. Captain right now is O'Reilly, but if Rangers do look back to some sort of normality on Thursday, look half decent, and give it a maybe not form, but confidence back, I would quite have to move back to captain Tav. Transfer this week's quite an easy one. I'm moving from Lammers to Miofsky. I've got 2.3 million in the bank, so it's not an issue.
That's sensible.
Okay, was that a whistle because the 2.3 million in the bank, though?
Yeah. Don't know where you're getting this team value from. Mine's rotten.
No, but I started quite well, so I got a lot of value to start. So
yeah. No Rangers players. Make your money. Talk up Boyle every week, and then you can all get on him and we make the money, you see.
Mm-hmm. And then Tom's going to sell him and he's going to go nuts against Hearts. That's going to happen. Right, probably. That is us for the week then. So I'll let you get your plugs in before we head out. Donnie.
I am at FFS underscore Donnie.
Tom.
I'm at FFS underscore Scott.
Nate, I'm at Fantasy Half. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.